I'd rather be the boss of my own money than hand it over to someone else and let them be the ones that make the decisions with my finances. So there's just so much information out there now that you are smart enough and you can learn enough and you have the power to do the same things that those professionals do with your money and do a better job, honestly.
Whether you're thinking about adding private money lending to your portfolio, or you're on your 10th deal, this podcast is just for you. Grow with Lila is for everyday people who want to grow their passive income, take more control over their investments, and get into real estate without swinging a hammer. Hey, I'm your host, Lila Zayed. I've been standing up new lines of revenue for 20 years. And after doing everything from building sales teams to monetizing solutions to bringing early stage B2B SaaS startups to market, I decided to dive headfirst into the world of private money lending, where even the modest returns are in double digits. As investing goes, private money lending is one of the more risky strategies. And even when your capital is secured by real estate, it can be a big effort to collect on that. So it helps that I'm a fish in water where there are tons of unknowns and hazards abound. I'm walking a few steps ahead, testing the riskiest hypotheses first, and I am sharing all my notes. Everything from big ideas to actionable step-by-step tactics that get results, so you can choose the right path for your own investments on your private money lending journey. Listen in to reveal the key decisions every PML faces before you face them and learn how to manage your risk, all while growing your entrepreneurial skills and mindset. Whether you're PML curious or an accomplished lender, each episode is designed to help you take immediate action on the most important strategies for starting and growing your private money lending business today. Today's episode of Grow with Lila is a goodie. We have a special guest who is here to share her journey as a private money lender so we can learn from her experience and grow as a result. Jennifer Alba brings to her real estate investing a background in multi-generational family business, making her a savvy business owner by trade. Today, Jennifer is making PML her priority, and she is doing it her way on her terms. Jennifer is really doubling down by designing a life she loves in every area of living, and her guiding principle is prosperity. Even her business is called the Prosperity Project. And of course, finance is one area in which she is growing her prosperity. She's using PML to grow her financial independence, and her business is growing. While she first began without many systems in place, Jennifer is focused on key systems to manage risk and maximize returns. Her ultimate goal, like so many of us in PML, is aggressively growing her capital for investing as she moves toward her passive income targets. A quiet giant and a dear friend, I am so over the moon to welcome you, Jennifer, to Grow with Lila.
Oh, hi. Thank you so much for having me. I've been waiting for this day. I'm so excited. Thank you.
Jennifer, I really want to start by hearing about what inspired you to get into private money lending.
Well, I didn't start out that way. I was inspired to get into real estate, I guess, in a general sense. Things had really changed in my family business, losing my mom a few years ago, and things just kind of changed. The dynamic changed, and I just was taking a hard look at my life and thinking, is this really what I want to do for the next 20 years? And unfortunately, the answer was no, not really. I love my family, and I, you know, honestly want to keep it that way. And I feel like it was time for me to maybe move. Or at least step back, maybe not move on so much, but step back a little bit. And anyways, found real estate. I've been really interested in real estate for a long time, reading, you know, books and things like that, but never really took the plunge. This just seemed like a great opportunity and maybe a new path for me that I wanted to go down. And so I found real estate. I learned about wholesaling. I learned about fix and flip. I learned about buy and holds. But then this thing came up called PML. And I was like, wow, interesting. PML, this seems like something, first of all, I never heard of. Second of all, that I would fit really nicely in the steps I was taking to step back from my business. Although I wasn't all the way out, I still had responsibilities there. And PML seemed like a good fit because I could kind of do both, I felt like. Anyway, so that's where it started. I love finance. I love money. Unfortunately, my sister says you love money too much. And it's not that I love money. I just like money's interesting to me. And money, you know, obviously is a great tool for a great life. And anyways, so it just fit in my personality. And I decided to walk down that road. So
I love that. Money is so good, right? I mean, I've had to get over some limiting beliefs about money myself. I think because I grew up without any and have had some really hard times in my life that I have felt like money is the root of all evil. But really, without money, I would be outside right now building myself a shelter of leaves and twigs to stay warm. And I am instead in my very comfortable office talking to you and having this wonderful conversation. And I'm so grateful for that. You know, private money lending has been around as long as money, but I had never heard of it before either.
I know. Who would have thought that you could really be the bank? And, you know, we grow up with these ideas and from our parents mostly, or from just our culture or world around us that you have to get, you know, you have to get money from a bank. You have to pay them interest. That's how it works. And who knew, you know, my dad was very conservative and he played by all those rules. And I'm sure like a lot of us, you know, grew up around like that's how it works. And man, to know that I could lend my money and have those and be the bank and make the kind of interest and make my money work for me was just really eye-opening and exciting, very exciting.
Was it all super clear when you first discovered private money lending and you said, oh, wow, there's a lot about this that is really attractive to me, but were there other things about private money lending, maybe questions you had or obstacles you were facing as you were considering private money lending for yourself?
Well, the biggest obstacle is I didn't have money. So that was a big one. And then I learned, well, there's things called a HELOC. And I mean, I had some cash, but it was invested in stocks. And I was like, okay, well, I guess I could clear that out and use that money. I had it in a Roth and I'm like, is that the best idea? And to be honest, in the end, I did decide to take some of that money out of my Roth and use it. And then I applied for a HELOC right away. Once I realized how much money I had sitting in my house doing nothing, you know, paying the bank on it or just letting it, you know, not do anything. Like I said, I was like, wow, what a great way to use the capital that I have just doing nothing. So I applied right at the bank and my local bank and got my HELOC and I got a 6-month great rate. Unfortunately, that rate has expired now, but it was a great way to start. And I all of a sudden had several hundred thousand dollars that I could invest. And, you know, my husband asked me, aren't you, you know, scared of that? And I was like, honestly, no. You know, I don't know. I guess I have a high risk tolerance, but I didn't face that fear really. I wasn't afraid. And to my disadvantage, actually, a little bit, which I'll tell you in a little bit. But yeah, it was something that I just jumped in and did really. I didn't think a ton about it, which isn't for everyone. You know, you should think a lot about it because you are putting your money at risk. And it is, you know, it's not as safe as just letting it sit in your home. But I decided just to jump in and did it.
Yeah, it is more of a risky investment strategy than, say, a high yield savings account, for sure. Talk to me about Prosperity. The Prosperity Project is the name of your business. You shared that Prosperity is what is motivating you. I would just love to hear more about what role Prosperity plays in your life and your attitudes and your behaviors.
Well, before I kind of had this awakening a few years ago and jumped into all this private money lending, it wasn't really thought about much. I didn't think a lot about it. And I was just in this kind of this wheel, this hamster wheel and of life. And I don't know why I just got, you know, kind of sucked into this life that my family wanted. And it was a good life. I don't want to say that I wasn't happy. I was for a while. But I just had this awakening, like, you know, Jennifer, it's time to live on your terms. And that included for me just how do I live my best life? You know, what does that even mean? And what steps am I going to take to get there? And what is prosperity? And for me, it's been just figuring out what drives me, what makes me happy, what I want for my future. And it's so weird how I've gone through almost 50 years of my life and not really thought about what Jennifer wants. What is this all for? You know, and I'm at this point where now I really start to want to start enjoying what I'm doing and the money that I'm making and not letting it just sit in a bank for someday that I can use it. And how does that all fit together? And through private money lending, I'm able to think differently how money works and how I can use money to just grow and have a better life for my family and have great, amazing experiences with them. So finance is one way that I'm trying to be prosperous. And then in my health, the last year, I've really been focusing on my health and my prosperity in those ways. And the relationship I have with my kids and, you know, being in a job at my family business, I was gone all the time and I was there and I wasn't home. And I now have like this growth that I'm like having with my son in our relationship now. And he's 15 and this is the time. Like if I don't make an impact on him now and help him make good decisions now, you know, we're all in trouble. So my daughter's another story. She was easy and she's great. But I wish I was actually around more for her now that I think about it. And I have this time now that I've been able to give myself back a little bit with private money lending and able to spend time with my kids more than I was ever able to. So just trying to be prosperous in my relationships as well.
It really sounds like what you're describing is a more proactive relationship with the flow of money in your life and how you are bringing it into your life versus reacting to your opportunities.
Yeah, I'm finding the opportunities now instead of just letting them come to me. And there wasn't much because I wasn't looking. You know, when you're not looking, you're not going to find it. And I just went looking for a different solution to how I bring money into my life and my family's finances. I've always been responsible for the money in our household. Honestly, I wish I had done a better job up to now. And now I'm really paying attention and I feel like I have some ground to make up. And I know that private money lending is going to get me there for sure.
You know, that's something that I hear. I hear this sort of duality from a lot of women PMLs in my life that on the one hand, there's a fair amount of fear there. Like, can I even do this? Is this a good idea? Shouldn't I leave this to my husband or a financial advisor? That's something that I hear sometimes inside my own head. I'm not mm-hmm. proud of that and I'm not selling that, but it's happened. Mm-hmm. And I hear it a little bit when other people ask me what my husband thinks of what I do. Mm-hmm. He was recently a guest on an episode and he is pleased as punch about what I do. But you know, whether he is or isn't is not really the point. It's that in my mind, I have these limiting beliefs, even though I'm the person who manages our finances, even though I'm the one who has her eye on the ball regarding not just the rainy day fund, but how we're going to get off this hamster wheel. Mm-hmm. Sounds like that's true for you too. And it sounds like you're building real systems around that are applicable to your private money lending business, but maybe also that you're bringing some of those practices into your personal finances. Is that true?
Yeah. I mean, I discovered several things along this journey as well, as far as how I'm handling money and what I'm doing with my money. And One of the things I'm really excited about is infinite banking. And I started a policy with that, talking about being your own bank. I mean, someday I hope to have a family bank, basically, where my family doesn't even need to go to a bank. And they use the family bank. And that's been such an amazing like journey as well, as learning about that and seeing how that can kind of fit into our finances. And honestly, my husband's amazing because he doesn't, well, he gives me the reins, I guess, and I like it that way. But, you know, he's always been really supportive. And, you know, there's been a few rough loans that we've had along this way in private money lending, but he's been supportive and he hasn't, you know, he hasn't questioned it. And I needed that. I needed him to not push back on that. And he really came through because I needed him just to kind of, you know, ride the wave with me. And he has, and it's been a blessing that I haven't, you know, that I've had a partner really without, you know, him saying I'm a partner, because he's just been along for the ride and he has just trusted me. And that's pretty amazing. So I know not everyone has that great experience with their husband or hasn't found that to be true, especially when you're getting started. It can be probably tough for people that maybe their husband does run the finances. And so they don't, you know, have the ability to just kind of do what they want. So there's some probably convincing that people have to do with their husbands to really get them on board. I'd rather be the boss of my own money than hand it over to someone else and let them be the ones that make the decisions with my finances. So that's why I love IBC, and I personally don't use a financial planner. I know that's not for everybody, but you know, there's just so much information out there now that you are smart enough and you can learn enough and you have the power to do the same things that those professionals do with your money and do a better job, honestly. That's how I feel. We live in an information overloaded world, but there's so much good information out there. Some bad too, so you got to watch out for that. But yeah, I just think women especially have so much power these days to really make a difference in what they're doing with their family money.
Yes. So I've never been involved in a private money lending deal that went exactly the way it was supposed to. And while I have heard that that exists, I am not privy to that information. I've never seen it up close. And that's okay. I think that's part of why I'm well suited to private money lending, because I am okay with things not going precisely the way I expect them to. I can roll with that, and I can collaborate with the parties involved, and I can problem solve and steer through the situation. And so can you. You mentioned that once or twice a deal has not gone the way that you originally hoped it would go. I wonder if you would share an example with us, as well as a takeaway or two, a real lesson learned.
Sure. Well, my very first private money lending deal went almost south. We got real close to foreclosure, actually filed for foreclosure. And that was really scary. And this was my very first deal. And but honestly, I look back and I'm just like grateful for it. There were so many things that I learned through that process. There was 8 ladies together in a PML deal, and that's a lot. And I do not recommend it. But we worked together. Of course, in the group, some voices were louder than others, but we worked, you know, as much as we could as a team to problem solve the deal, find solutions for them, try to better communicate with our borrowers. There was so many things. I mean, just talk about trying to be creative in financing, just to kind of get through it. It was tough. A lot of lessons learned. It was 9 months overdue. It was supposed to be a 6-month deal, and it went well over a year. But honestly, I don't think I would trade it. I grew so much in that. And I know now all the red flags that I saw and ignored. I know the things I did wrong. And not that if I did all those things perfectly, it still would have gone right. But I'm able to now just go into deals knowing that things can and will go wrong, and it's okay. And honestly, you know, you just got to think of worst case scenario. What's the worst case scenario that could happen? And are you okay with that? And if you are, and you can get through that, then, you know, then you've done your due diligence, and, you know, you've done all the checked all the boxes, and you've you know, gotten as much risk out of it that you can, and then you go, you just go, and everything will work out.
What's the thing you're doing now as a private money lender that you weren't doing in the beginning because you didn't know any better, probably, right? What's the thing you're doing today in your deals and your process that you would love to go back to the beginning and tell Jennifer about?
Have a relationship. The relationship, I think, is the number one thing that I took away from it, from my bad deal. I wouldn't have done business with the people that I did business with if I had known them better. And any deals now going forward, I am going to know, like, and trust them. And I heard a lot. I heard that a lot at the beginning too. And guess what? It's one of the things that I ignored. And I just thought, I have FOMO. It's a problem for me. And I was like, I wanted my first deal and I wanted it pretty badly. And I felt like I was missing out because other people around me were getting deals. I was just getting that itch and I felt like I needed to make it do a deal. And so I jumped in, not knowing the people very well, not even knowing the people that I was lending money with, which is also important. So going forward, my next deals will be with friends and not necessarily best friends, but people that I have had enough conversations with and enough experience with and been around them enough to know that they're good people. And no matter what goes south, it's going to be okay. And so I think that's probably my number one takeaway or lesson learned going forward. There's many, but that one is my favorite. And I think the one that I'm going to stick to for sure. I see myself not swaying from that one.
That's so good. You know, I recently learned the lesson about knowing who you're lending with. Mm. I've done a fair amount of my lending solo, and I'm in a deal with another lender, and we don't agree about what to do next. We have a loan that is 60 days in default. I think we're 60 days past when we should be kicking off the foreclosure process.
Right.
That's my perspective, not because I want to be harsh, but because that's how business works. We've got a contract that says as much. We all agreed to this, you know, and it can often be the case that beginning that process is part of what really motivates to make the payoff happen. And so I've heard that from many other lenders, yourself included, just
yes,
now.
Yes, absolutely.
So that's quite a takeaway. And I hope our dear listeners heard it, that we're doing diligence, not just on our borrowers, but also on anyone else we're lending with in any given deal. Jennifer, how would you say, you said know, like, and trust. You heard folks talking about how important this was. And you said, yeah. And you put it to the side because you were just really eager to get into a deal. I get that. I know a lot of folks get that. How would you recommend a private money lender or someone who's even just hasn't done their first deal and is thinking they might like to, how would you recommend they get to know borrowers and potential team lenders before they go ahead and make a commitment?
You have to put yourself out there. You have to show up. You have to show up to meetups, and you have to go on, you know, these trips. You know, we've done some of our trips with Pace. Lila, you and I have done that. And I met actually two people that I'm so looking forward to doing deals with going forward, because we've started a relationship when we met face to face. And then we have kept up with each other and checked in with each other. I haven't had money to lend in 8 months, but I've still communicated with this person, for example, and we check in with each other. We see how they're doing. We're asking what's going on with their business. For me, at least, it started with meeting someone face to face, and you make that initial connection. And then you have that gut feeling like, hey, I like this person. And you both kind of have the same interests, or you have the same ideas or goals in your real estate business. This person might be a fix and flipper, but you have the money, and then you just hit it off. And then if you keep that relationship going, I mean, it's better to not have money, I think, for me, this last 8 months, because I've been able to grow those relationships. So yeah, I just feel like showing up to some of these things that where other like-minded people are. It's not my favorite thing, I'll be honest. I have to say, Jennifer, we're going to this. I have to like kind of force myself to go. I am a people person, but you know, sometimes you just make excuses and, oh, I have laundry to do, or I have work to do, or, you know, I got to do my books. But the most important thing, I think, for the future of your business is building those relationships, putting yourself out there and meeting new people in the space. You'll be surprised. You'll meet a lot of people that are like-minded like yourself, and you become friends. And then those are the people you end up wanting to do deals with.
Gosh, yes. Yes to all of that. You know, something that I love about real estate investing that is unlike any other industry I've ever worked in is how collaborative it is. You know, in every other industry I've ever been in, it is a competitive landscape. It's about market share. There's only so much of a pie. I'm going to take as much of it as I can. But in real estate, the more people involved, the more money is made. The more people involved, the faster the deal moves. The faster the deal moves, the more money is made. And, you know, and it's wonderful because that is true. It not only gives us the opportunity, but really it's essential for us to get to know one another. The industry attracts people who love people.
Yeah, I found the same for sure. And, you know, you have people that you might be attracted to that don't have the same skills as you. They have different skills that you need in to make a deal successful, like negotiations or things like that. Maybe you have the numbers brain and you'd like to do the money and the spreadsheets. And then you have the people that are just task oriented and will go to the job site and get things done. So, you know, you meet all kinds of personalities, but yeah, you'll find that you need all different types of people to make a deal a success.
That's right. And you mentioned that you meet folks and build these relationships in two spaces, in online communities and in person. To recap that for our listeners, one of the communities that Jennifer and I belong to together is the Gator community with Pace Morby. And there will be a link in the show notes to that. If you're not already a part of that community, it is absolutely where I have not only learned a lot about private money lending from others in the community, as well as some of the content that's in the vault there, but also it's where I'm doing most of my deals. Is that true for you too?
Yeah, absolutely. After my first two initial deals, the remaining like four or five that I've done so far have all been with people in that community. And we're all wanting to lend our money in that community, but then it's also tied to Pace's other communities, which those are the people that are out there finding the deals and need the money. So it's a very self-sufficient community. There's lots of communities out there, but what I love about that one is, you know, just the good-hearted people in the community. I feel like we police each other and hold each other accountable in that community and show up for each other. I mean, you have to always do your due diligence and be careful. And I have deals that are late in that community as well. It's not like I'm saying that those aren't all the good deals, but or all the perfect deals are inside the community, but it's where the relationships are beginning for me and where they're blossoming and flowering and growing. And yeah, I've found that out of several communities I'm involved with to be a little piece of gold for sure in growing in my business.
As we round the bend here, our listeners, they're new private money lenders, or maybe they've been doing it for a little while, or maybe they're just dipping their toe in and asking themselves, is private money lending for me? What advice would you give to our listeners as they try to learn more about private money lending and consider it for themselves?
Well, I do think you should learn as much as you can, read as much as you can, listen to podcasts like this one as much as you can, really sink your teeth into the information that's out there. And then find a community that you can ask questions, because you're going to have a million questions. And it's scary. And I'm not going to say it's not scary. And it's risky. But, you know, everything in life is risky, if you ask me. I mean, we're all going to take a risk with our money in some way. Letting your money sit in a bank is risky, to be honest with you. I don't think PML is for everyone. So you do got to ask those tough questions to yourself. You know, can I handle this? Can I have a lot of patience? Can I have communication skills? Can I be able to problem solve when I have to? I found a great community of people that are like-minded, that all want to grow, you know, in lots of ways, not just financially. And I tell as many people as I can about it, because it's something that I knew nothing about. And I hope that others can find, if not PML, something similar that works for them, where they can grow and be able to make those, some of those dreams come true for their future.
I heard you say that folks who are new to PML or considering private money lending, it's an opportunity to consider what you're good at, what you love, and if it feels like a fit, if it feels like it complements who you are, then that is worthy of exploration. And if it doesn't, walk on.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. And like I said, I think learning all you can and then taking a look in the mirror, what do you want for your future? And does it fit? And if it fits, then by all means, jump in and be brave. And I think you're going to find some great things come out of it.
Jennifer, this has been a great thing. Thank you so much for joining us today on Grow with Lila. It was so helpful to hear more about your journey as a private money lender, especially what inspired you to get started and your lessons learned and the practices that are really working for you now. Dear listener, please help me thank Jennifer by following her on Instagram at Jen T-I-B. That's J-E-N-N-T-I-B. And DM her with a quick note of gratitude. Thanks for all the nuggets of wisdom that she shared with us today. Learning from other women in PML is an important part of how we grow. So thanks again, Jennifer, for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. And I'm happy to help anybody who has questions. Please reach out. And I'd love to be helpful to you.
And if you're looking to begin your private money lending journey, as I have, I've got a resource for you. It's a cheat sheet. It's a roadmap I wish I had had. It's a treasure map that reveals plain as day the obstacles faced by every PML and the 10 most common and most costly mistakes made by women who are new to private money lending. And best yet, how to avoid them. Whether you've not yet done your first deal or you've been skating by on sheer dumb luck, this freebie could save you tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of wasted dollars and so much time. Other women have shared these hard lessons learned so you don't have to fall flat on your face and instead can better manage your risk and maximize your wins. Download your I Want to Make Money, Not Lose It cheat sheet today at growwithlila.com/mistakes. That's growwithlila.com/mistakes. That's it for today's episode. I'm your host, Lila Zayed. If you have a pal who could use this episode or more like it, please, please share the link. And if you haven't yet, hit subscribe and follow this podcast so you never miss a thing. I can't wait to connect again next week at the same time, same place. In the meantime, here's to your health, your wealth, your freedom, and your joy.